No, wait a minute. Wait. Don't get too quick. Dead to sin. Alive in Christ. Do you really believe that? What are the excuses you've given this week for not being better than you are? Oh. Free from sin. Now, does that mean just guilt of sin? Oh, that's true. What if we are really free from powers of sin? Free, says Jesus. Hold to my truth, my teachings, and the truth will set you free. Free to become all God designed you to be. Do we have to wait till heaven? Or is this truth today? Don't get too quick. Don't get too quick. I'm talking scripture here. Paul gave a line. Vanjie read it for us. Don't be deluded by human tradition thinking that says, I just can't be any better than I am. I can't be free from the nature of sin until I get to heaven. And then I read these crazy scriptures, free from sin. Do we believe that? Now, we all say we believe in the scripture. Christ has truly set us free. And you read it on, free to be what God designed us to be. The verses that I want to just sort of focus in on today are verses 8, 9, and 10. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. Our completeness is not because we're so nice, wonderful, thoughtful, smart, and brilliant. We are complete through our union with Christ. Just read with me those last five lines, would you, that starts, for in Christ? Read with me. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Wow. You are complete. Or New American Standard Bible puts it this way. In Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been made complete in Him. Christianity is more than a set of rules of how to live nicer and a set of morals how our world could get nicer. In Christ, there is a relationship with God that transforms us from the inside out. The general thought of religions are that there is a set of morals that are taught, and if we follow them, we'll get along better. Christianity does more than say, think better, be nicer, and if we all did that, we'd get along great. Christianity teaches us that in Christ, there is a transformation from the deepest part of our being that radiates out and through the whole of our life. It empowers us to be all God designed us to be in this world. In this passage that Vanji read, there are some radical declarations for followers of Jesus. You are rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ, that means we start gaining sustenance and eternal life from Him. Isn't that right? The roots of a plant down into the ground pull out moisture and sustenance. Right? You are built up in Christ. You have been strengthened through your faith in Christ, and you are overflowing with thankfulness. Even on a morning when it's cold, blooming cold. We are complete through our union with Christ. That 11th verse. Does that really mean what it says? Christ has cut away our sinful nature. Has he really? Because I keep hearing people say, I can't do that. It can't happen until I get to heaven. But it says, it doesn't say Christ will someday. What does it say? Read that line with me. Christ has cut away our sinful nature. Circumcised is the word that's used. That is so antithetical to what I've heard in churches and from the lips of Christians. I've heard it over and over and over and over and over, but this is not what, that's not what this line says. So what do I do? Do I listen to, or do I listen to? Don't tell me you believe in Christ until you've decided to take Him at His word. Should I just quit now? Why do we do that? Why? If he's done that, why am I dealing with so many struggles? You've already figured out I ain't going to get done in 20 minutes. Have you figured that one out? Let's just go ahead with some more of these declarations, because that one is just that one is just sort of. I love that song that Ben just sang and wrote for us. We are free. That's why I want him to sing it. We are free. And I heard you sing it. We are free. Verses 13 and 14, God has made us alive with Christ. He forgave our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Now I'm going to bring another one that I'm not sure we've realized that. I think we believe it, but I'm not sure we've understood the depth of it, because I don't think we've grabbed it. God disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Friends, Satan and the demons of this world have been defeated and disarmed. They have not been destroyed, but they are doing a great job of intimidating us. Do you know why they are able to intimidate us? We listen to them more than we listen to Jesus. That one's strong, I know. Verse 20 says, we have died with Christ and he has set us free from the spiritual powers of this world. I've heard it and heard it and heard it. We can't be free until we enter heaven. My problem with that is that's not what this scripture says. Why am I being silent? I just want to let the word. Let it penetrate us. What would our lives and our church be like if these declarations were really true? What would our lives and our church be like if we really believed these declarations? Remember, we live what we believe. Beliefs are more than an ideal. We live what we believe. How do I know what I believe? How do I live? The purpose for the letter of the Colossians is actually identified in this second chapter. These young Christians were becoming confused about their new faith in Christ by the influence of Jewish traditions, mystic religions of the area, and religious traditions that they had grown up in. But the way of Jesus was so different. They were getting distracted from faith in Christ through religious practices and expectations of neighbors in Colossae. One of our spiritual mentors, Church of the Nazarene, John Wesley, 18th century English writer, became founder of the movement we now know as the Methodist Church. In his introduction to his commentary, or to this book on his commentary on Colossians, he wrote, it seems the Colossians were now in danger of being seduced by those who strove to blend Judaism or heathen superstitions with Christianity. The blending of religions rather than listening to Jesus. Friends, if I'm not, I can't believe it. We say we're in a different world. Folks, that's exactly what we're encountering today. Pretending that God, because of his great majesty, was not to be approached except by mediation of angels, and that there were certain rites and observances, chiefly borrowed from the law, whereby these angels might be made our friends. But, you know, we try to find mediators with God through the angels and through spirits. That is not 21st century, that's 18th century, and he was reflecting what's been going on through the centuries before. John Wesley went on to write, in opposition to them, the apostle commends the knowledge of Christ as more excellent than all other, and so entire and perfect that no other knowledge was necessary for a Christian. He shows that Christ is above all angels who are only his servants, and that being reconciled to God through him, we have free access to God in all necessities. Access to God. Not the God we want God to be, but the God who is and keeps changing our understanding of who he is. Oh, there are some imperatives prompted by this declaration. Continue to follow Christ, Jesus, as your Lord. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and the spiritual powers of this world. I know I'm going to get bogged down here, so let me just... A few months back, I was given a book. The title is The Rise of the Nones, N-O-N-E-S. The subtitle is Understanding and Reaching the Religiously Unaffiliated. Those who check off not associated with organized church or religion. Some of them were raised totally outside the church. Some have just left the church. Some, it says, grew up in the church but never really engaged. They went through the neat programs. They had great teachers. They've had people that tried, but they never really engaged. And so, the idea, spiritual but not religious. Truth is, religion is a set of values. And out of this has come a new word, truthiness. Not truth, but truthiness. I thought, come on, get real. So I got out my trusty, good old dictionary. And I looked it up, see if I can find here, dictionary. It takes a half second for this to come up. Truthiness, T-R-U-T-H-I-N-E-S-S. You want to hear it? Dictionary. Yeah. The quality of seeming to be true according to one's intuition, opinion, or perception without regard to logic, factual evidence, or the like. Don't let anybody capture you with empty. The writer says, the idea behind truthiness is that actual facts don't matter. What matters is how you feel, for you as an individual are the final arbiter of truth. Truthiness is the bald assertion that we are not only to discern truth for ourselves from the facts at hand, but also to create truth for ourselves despite the facts at hand. First century writer. Folks, truthiness is not a new practice. It's 2,000 years old. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for the other things. A summary of this is just this way. Don't be fooled by nice-sounding religious practices or theories that miss the true provisions of God through Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. As you can see, I'm nowhere near done, but I don't think any more focus on this today would make any difference. I just want to let those, what I've shared with, I just want to let that settle. I'm going to pick up from here next week. Michelle, if you just bump ahead to the 21st slide for me, please. Thank you. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body, and you are, not shall be, you are complete. through your union with Christ. We don't have to become perfect so that we can be whole. God makes us whole, and in that wholeness, He enables us to become all God intended us to be. You know what's interesting? We come from a unique heritage. Watch this for me. Take that video, would you please, Michelle? Thank you. I invite you to stand. And may the God of peace Himself, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, shape you, transform you, equip you for all that He designed you to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.